Please go ahead. The conference call is now being recorded.
Thank you, Tim. Would you like me to do a roll call, Rafiq and Carter?
Yes, please. Glenn, would you do the roll call as well?
With pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Jazz Call on the 10th of June. And on this call, we have Rafiq Damak, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdonor, Carlos Oguera, John Raman Khan, Alan Greenberg, Elaine Pruis, Evan Lebevovich, Avery Doria, and I see on the Adobe Connect we have Sebastian Bachelet. We have apologies from Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Alex Gukuru, Dave Kisson-Doyel, and Tijani Benjamin. For staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Glenda Saint-Jury. Thank you very much. Over to the two of you, Carlton and Rafiq. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. I will just start off, and then Rafiq will pick up. Just for the agenda, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, members. There was a notation from Elaine that we make a change to the agenda in terms of the amount of time that we make available for an item. Item 4, preview of the presentation for Singapore public meeting. It is now listed as one that will take 5 minutes. I think it's a reasonable request. Can I suggest that we reserve 10 minutes for that item, and we will take it from item 4? Is that okay? Is that suggestion okay with everyone?
Yep.
I see Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl. Well, Cheryl has led the way, and I hear no. Alan is there. Thank you, Alan. Evan is there as well. Thank you. I think we can generally say that we've agreed to extend the preview presentation for Singapore public meeting to 10 minutes and reduce the meeting time for number 4 item, which is the way forward and the chartered items, from 20 to 15 minutes. Thanks all. Might I remind everyone, our SOIs and DOIs, if you have outstanding ones, please do make sure they're updated, and we will move into the first substantive item, which is the information request for staff, the detailed questions. We have placed the letter from Evan, who's leading on this, in the note window of the Adobe chat. And Evan, you have the floor, sir.
Thanks, Carlton. To be honest with you, I have posted this on behalf of the drafting team. I have actually been one of the minor players on this. This has been a significant piece of work between Andrew, Avery, and Cintra. I've had some contributions to this. I don't know, unless there's a lot of Q&A on this, whether or not this is going to require 20 minutes. Essentially, what you have in front of you is a very specific request for more information than we currently ask. in response to comments, including from Avery and Elaine in the last meeting, we wanted to make sure that we were recognizing the existence of existing documentation, and that rather than just try and reinvent the wheel, that we make sure that what we're asking for is not material that's already been published. So there are specific references to three existing staff documents on cost breakdowns that we are attempting not to repeat, but to in fact expand upon the information that is already presented. So what you have in front of you is a series of detailed questions, the answers of which I'm hoping will guide further research and recommendations from this group about potential cost reduction opportunities once we see further details on the breakdown. I don't have more of an intro than that, but I guess we can take questions and answers. Like I say, I hope that we've addressed the concerns that were expressed in the last call about recognition of previous publication of information, and that we're not just trying to ask for the same stuff repeated over and over.
Thank you, Evan. I wish to emphasize that you were one of the actors, not the only actor. I know of the involvement of Avery and Sintra, and definitely I know, and Avery,
Andrew.
And Andrew, of course. Avery's on the call. Could I give Avery an opportunity to say anything if she needs to? Avery?
So Avery, I don't have much to say. I mean, that the document is sort of a compromise between the various people that were working on writing it to try and certainly make sure that it was accurate, certainly make sure that it reflects both the information that has been given and the depth to which it did or didn't go, and then to recognize, you know, the questions that various people in the group had mentioned, you know, wanting answers. There were some issues that weren't discussed in those three documents, but for the most part, looks better when it's formatted, but for the most part, you know, this is information based on the documents they put out and trying to use the same language and referring to the sections as were indicated in those documents. So that's about it. Nothing to add.
Thank you, Avery. Alan, you're up, sir. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. I guess I question the first item of asking for the breakdown of where the already sunk costs came from and are they reasonable. I thought one of the principles that we had adopted quite early on is that we were asking for an exemption from that, regardless of where the numbers came from and were they calculated right. To be honest, I think it's a bit late to you know, tell them for them to tell us exactly where it came from. That number has been so far exceeded since then that it's relatively moot whether that number's right or not. And I thought we were working on the principle that the sunk costs was an accounting, not game, but an accounting artifice that staff or board had decided on, and we were simply asking for an exception on that one. So I really don't see the merit of trying to go into any depth on those, on where that number came from. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Avery is up. Elaine has just indicated her agreement with Alan's point on the Adobe Connect. Avery, you have the floor.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I think it actually, your comment would probably refer to both 1 and 2 in the original recommendations of the group. Certainly both the development costs and the risk costs were costs that we felt should be struck. But I think the point comes in terms of including it and asking for more detail is the feedback that has come back so far from the board and the staff is, no way that's going to get cut. So if there's no way that's going to get cut, and they're saying it's important and we got to have it because, well, then I think the burden, and I think this is what comes up in the compromise, that the burden is on them to prove that this is even a reasonable number. It's sort of a, had they agreed and said, oh, you're right, sinking those development costs in for people who weren't even included in the development effort and were paying for all kinds of people to travel to meetings and to do this and to do that. And then Jazz can come up with a counter-argument and say, but excuse me, you know, the populations we're talking about weren't even part of this process. That becomes relevant. You're right. Had they taken the first report and said, yeah, development costs does not make sense to apply these to Jazz-qualified applicants, so, yeah, okay, we agree, then you're right, this wouldn't be needed. But since it's still an ongoing discussion where they haven't bought into the idea, getting a breakdown, making them show, well, why these costs, and perhaps if you can't get the full thing broken down because they haven't agreed to that, you can at least then make point arguments and saying, well, you're certainly not going to ask development people to pay for budget that went for big parties they weren't invited to. And you're certainly not. And it allows you to get down to the nitty-gritty of the argument. That's, I think, the reason it remains there. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Elaine, you have the floor. You're up next, and then Alan.
Thank you. So following along what Avery's saying, I think one of the reasons why this just doesn't sit right with me is that if we're going to question that cost and want a breakout of it and see if any parts of it are unreasonable, why is that specific to our work and not to the entire program? If we can prove that, you know, one part of this, the estimation is, you know, off by 40% or something, why shouldn't that carry over to every applicant? And I think we need to differentiate why the disadvantaged applicant should have a discount based on a poor assumption, but the other applicants shouldn't. And I can't do that in my mind if we're still going from the frame of cost recovery for the program. Thanks.
Thank you, Lane. Alan, you're next, sir. And then Evan.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I haven't heard a definitive statement back from the board saying they reject the concept. Maybe it was made and I missed it. I guess perhaps similar to Elaine, but on a philosophical ground, we're essentially saying that the people who develop these numbers are incompetent boobs and we want to be able to verify their arithmetic. And I think the tone is all wrong, but that may just be me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. It's noted. I think, well, let me hear Evan. Evan, you're on the board.
I guess to me this is just a matter of, you know, the old Mark Twain time. If I had more time, I'd write less. This is a situation in which we've had a small amount of time to come up with something. Alan, I don't think a tone is meant there that implies incompetence. Certainly there's an issue of transparency here. I don't think that we're implying anything by this. In terms of what Elaine had said earlier, it's not the task of this group whether or not to say that these issues should be lowered for all applicants. We're just trying to get some information that is to work within the scope of our group and what we can try and come up with within lowering prices for qualified applicants. If somebody wants to extend out of that, that, well, maybe perhaps these costs shouldn't apply to other applicants. Well, that's for other people to decide. We've got a very narrow scope in this group. We're trying to figure out how to lower prices, costs, and obstacles to certain kinds of applicants. And if others want to extend that, that's within the absolute legitimate realm of others. We're just asking for stuff to help us do our very specific work.
Okay, I see a couple of agreements there with that. I don't know if it was what Evan said in the last business, but I think philosophically that's where you start. Elaine, you are back up on the board, and then Cheryl.
Thank you. I'd just like to disagree that we haven't had much time to consider this. It's one of the first items that we talked about when the group formed more than a year ago, and we dropped it. There wasn't enough support in the group to pursue it because of the assumption that we're working on cost recovery. So there's that point. And then if in fact we actually need this information to do our work, I still don't see a very strong argument in these questions that show exactly why we need these numbers to continue our work. I'd like to see a stronger argument.
Thank you, Lane. Cheryl, you have the board.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. Following on rather from what Elaine was just saying, actually, I was just going to remind the work group that, of course, this is not actually part of the current charter. It's useful work. It's not the key charter focus, though, for what we should be doing now. But its usefulness needs to be kept in context. We're not actually trying to lower the costs, I would have suggested, and doing this this exploration, whilst may help the work group members frame an understanding, isn't going to make any difference on those costs as stated. We're not tasked with trying to audit or improve a benefit or cost associated with any particular part of it. We're tasked with trying to find a mechanism to ensure applicant support for those who cannot afford it, regardless of what those costs are. So I'd like to get us past, if we possibly can at some point in the not too distant future, the wondering and worrying about the specifics of the anatomy of this, and rather more about what we do with the rapidly decaying corpse. Because, you know, it's going to be, as I think a number of us said before, a situation where even when we have these numbers, having them isn't going to change, and we're not actually tasked with telling them how to change the cost recovery models. We're tasked with finding mechanisms to make it cost capable for those who cannot come up with these cost recovery amounts and the charges applying based on them, whatever they are and however they are generated, but to facilitate those who cannot afford it having an entry point and a reasonable level playing field at this first round. Alternates of second rounds and everything else is the boogeyman that I would like to try and avoid. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. We have the last intervention on this topic from Avery. Avery, you're there, and then we summarize and get out. Avery, you have the floor.
I think in a large sense, I agree with Cheryl. The tack of this group could be we don't really care why the expenses are the way they are. We just want them reduced. And I think that would be a superb way to be carrying forward. But insofar as the approach does seem to be not that, but rather for each of the expenses, why should or should not this expense be applied to a JAS-qualified applicant, you need more information. If you're going to take the approach that I think I was hearing from Cheryl was, it really doesn't matter why the charges are what they are. We stipulate to your charges
yes, over a beer, we would argue that they're totally unreasonable, but we stipulate to them, and we don't think jazz-qualified people should pay them, period, then I think we're fine. But if we're going to start saying, well, this one is and this one isn't perhaps appropriate, then you need more detail. So either you need a letter at all or you don't need one, and that really depends on the tactic that you're using in the argument. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Let me just summarize. We seem to be at a point where we recognize that, as Cheryl says, that the questions of the details of the cost is not a part of the charter that we are working on. But we also recognize that having more information about those details would, in fact, help us to zero in on the arguments that says we can reduce the cost because. It seems to me it is we have a reasonable conjunction here. I would just ask members to go with what Alan indicated, says you need to settle on a philosophical view and then move forward on it. I think the item in the letter explores that some. It may be that it needs to be developed, but we are out of time for this question. So I would expect that we could probably continue the conversation on the wiki and on the list, and we can refine the letter as we come to some solution in refining the letter as to what we are actually asking. Thank you. Can we move to number three? And I think it's brief. I just started, and then I will hand it over to Rafiq. If you look at the report, it starts with selling the summary of the report, and it gives you the parts 1 through 5, and it answers some questions, the why, when, who, what, how questions. And if you map those back to the chartered items, you will see that the report clearly tells you what it covers. And if you go back and look at our group work, you will notice that it substantially covers all of Group 1 work, which is what was intended anyway, and to some extent it delves a little bit in the Group 4 work. That's my interpretation of it. If members have other interpretations, they'll be happy to hear them, but I just throw that into the mix as we begin to discuss the subject. Rafiq, could you take over, please?
Thank you, Carter. Okay, so any comments on that? Well, maybe, Kazin, if you have a specific question to the working group members, to Eden, please go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm looking at the notes, and I see the part where it says union of chartered work items, common work items. Maybe I'm missing it, but did someone actually, like, check off which ones were done and which ones aren't? Or could we talk about that?
Sorry, Erin, I couldn't hear the last part. I'm not sure for other people, but I couldn't hear. What did you say in the last part of your sentence?
What did you say, Rafiq? I couldn't hear you.
I said that I couldn't hear your last part.
Okay, I said, so I'm looking at the notes, the union of chartered work items, common work items, and Carlton said that if you go through the report, you can see which ones are done. So I'm wondering, do we have like a checkoff list, which ones are done and which ones are not done, so we can focus on what we need to do next?
Shirin?
Well, no, I understand what Elaine's asking for. I thought that was what this discussion was going to be producing, you know, an agreed sense of what was or wasn't completed and to what extent. You know, we all agree that the second milestone report focuses predominantly on the activities of subgroup one and to some extent two. And we all generically sort of thought, well, you know, what has to happen in subgroup three and five are still out there, and to a greater or lesser extent, some of subgroup one and predominantly more of subgroup two's work, but we actually haven't got those listed. And I thought what we might be doing is going through the second milestone report and seeing how much of those bits can be identified and tabulated and then allocated as the, whatever priorities each of the subgroups are going to be giving them.
Thanks, Sherry. We have Avery in the queue. Avery, go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is Avery. I guess I'm sort of confused on where we're going, but in terms of doing that kind of checkoff and comparison and, you know, this report item is against this charter item, that seems to me the kind of exercise that would be great for the chairs to sort of do and put forward, as opposed to something that works in a group exercise. Maybe I'm wrong. And were we already at the talking about the teams? I thought we were talking about the, and maybe I just got confused, the milestone report versus chartered items.
Mapping outcome of milestone report versus chartered items is what we're up to.
Yeah, that's okay. Then I didn't quite understand some of your earlier points. But yeah, I was thinking that doing that mapping is kind of a mechanical task that maybe the two chairs could take a first draft at and then, you know, come back to the group and see where we can, you know, help and add and comment. But does that work as a group exercise? Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. So the idea is to highlight what is remaining as tasks with comparison between our charter and the milestone report, and then to check the progress for each task. For the subgroups, Avery, just to reply to your question, it will be in the item 4.
I just thought Cheryl was answering that item already, so I got confused.
I thought, you know, we needed to have what work needs to be done vaguely identified before the work teams could actually, dare I say, charter a way forward. But
okay, maybe...
Perhaps I like my horse before my cart. I'm funny like that.
Okay, maybe we can have in the wiki space, so we put what is remaining and then to update that to see what's the progress done for each task. I will work with Carlton on that matter. Carlton? So just for 10 minutes, is there any comment, further comment on that? So I think the co-chairs have task to do, have action to take on that matter. But if there are any further comment, otherwise we will move to the fourth item. Avery, do you want to comment? Because I am seeing, I am reading your comment, and okay, please go ahead.
Yes and no. I guess I got confused again on carts and horses. I thought that there were really three things being spoken of. There's the work that was described in the MR2 and mapping it to the charter items, and I thought that that was one work item. Then there was a work item of, given that and given what's done and what's not done, how does that reflect on all the other work being done? But I got really confused when we started talking about carts and horses and saying that this... I just confused. Thank you.
Sorry to confuse you, Avery. It was the conflagration of putting three and four together, which was certainly not the intent. Let's just stick to the basic mapping first, which is what the agenda is now.
Okay. Okay. So,
thank you.
Please, if about the noise, please put yourself in it. Okay. I think we have a clear action. So, in the side of the co-shares, I think that we can move to the next item, which is about more update, way forward and short items sub team leaders. It's more the updates from the subgroup leaders. I just want to comment that personally I like it how Ellen presented work teams, it's subgroups. How is she presented the work done and what are the next action? I think it makes it more easy to follow the progress. Maybe we can follow that that model. Okay, I'm just trying to see the subgroups. So we start. I don't think we will start subgroup one, but to Avery, yes. Avery? Yes, Avery?
I didn't put my hand up.
Okay, I was seeing your hand up and down, so I thought that's a kind of message. So let's move to the subgroup two, because I think we focused in the subgroup one for a long time, but let's go to the subgroup two, which is led by Avery, which is about the financial donor, funding and financial donor. Avery, yes?
Okay, I this is Avery. I can't possibly imagine myself as a leader of a group, seeing that I left the whole group. Being leader of a subgroup is kind of strange to find myself in. I have no idea what that group's been up to over the last couple of months.
That's a good question.
I think for a while we didn't follow the model of subgroups. We focused on the second milestone report, and now we are reactivating the subgroups. So I don't see any problem that you can lead it again. Maybe to you, can you, Avery, try to to follow up with the other members and to see what can be done.
Hello?
Yeah, some of us are still here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Might be Rafik that lost.
Yeah. Glenn, I think Rafik was a dial out.
It's Rafik that dropped off. We'll get him connected back.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Problem with that's happened. Problem with Mumbai. Okay, so I guess, Avery, so that I think you agreed about what, so that you are you follow up and then you set maybe an action plan or something, and so, okay? Okay, let's go to the subgroup three. Ellen?
Thank you. So I sent around an email, I think it was Wednesday, outlining the work that has been done to meet the charter items
and what still needs to be done. I didn't see any response to my email, so if anybody has any new information about that work, perhaps, Carla, maybe you could give an update on if there's been any more forward movement on that matching website that had been proposed. That would be helpful. Thank you.
I have just a question, Ellen. I think we have saying the list of members. Are you in touch with Fabian, Michele, and Eric about subgroup 3?
No, we haven't ever worked together, actually.
Okay. Do you need more members? Some other? I don't know if you need something that...
Yeah, Rafiq, I think it would be really useful if we maybe just rebuilt these subgroups because, I mean, from what Avri said, she's not in charge of one, and I haven't ever actually talked to Fabian or Michele about these things, so maybe we could rearrange who's working on what since 1 and 2, the majority of the work of 1 and 2 seems to be done. That'd be good. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. So, Avri, please go ahead.
Forgetting to unmute myself. I actually very much agree with what Elaine said here. And in fact, I mean, looking at these working groups, and then we'll get later and we'll find out that one working group is that perhaps some of them are, and so going through the reports is good to see where everything is at. Now we know where two of them are at is to take the exercise that you're going to do of looking at MR2, looking at the charter, looking at what's not covered, and then reformulate groups around some of those things that yet need to be done. So, you know, and if indeed our priorities do get changed over the next couple of days in all these large conversations we're having, that could be taken into account, too, to make these groups, you know. But it, on the other hand, if there is one of the groups that's going through and we get to group number X and it's been dynamic and they've all been working together, and they've got proposals, and then certainly we should honor those. Thanks. Well, that's what I keep doing. Somebody else has already put my hand down. I go to put it down, and I put it back up.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. Okay, so you asked that we maybe we need to change the subgroups. It's regarding... the remaining task, and then maybe we can reformulate changing the subgroups, or maybe I'm not getting your point.
And what I'm trying to say is, and I think this is was in agreement with Elaine, and certainly she'll correct me, if I certainly think you should, you know, honor the rest of the process you've got going and go through the rest of the groups and you know, find out where everyone's at. But then the suggestion to, once you have figured out what work is done and what work we still must do based on what's in the charter, then we may want to form a few, it might not be the same five, it might be whatever, groups to focus on those specific chartered work items that we haven't finished yet. And any other topics that come up during our next week and a half of meetings, or 2 weeks of meetings, that, you know, we discover need to be dealt with, as opposed to trying to breathe a lot of life back into these existing subgroups. That's kind of what I was saying.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. Okay. It's noted. So we have two... I think the last two groups, but I don't think that the leaders are here. So we just have 50 minutes, and we agreed that we need to talk about the presentation for Singapore public session, as we don't have We cannot really expect any updates on the two last subgroups, I guess, if there is no objection on, or other comment. We can move to the next item. But I take notes of a comment from Avery, and yes, okay. So, the item 5. I'm not sure it's in the Adobe Connect. Description. Kala, could you put the description of the of that Singapore public meeting in the Adobe Connect?
It's already there, Rafik.
I don't find it. Where?
Yeah, it's right under Board Gag Jazz Working Group Meeting. They have Singapore session, and it's just in bullet point. Let me just take it out.
I remember in your you send the email, more detailed email with like a kind of agenda, etc. And also we have, I'm not sure if people have the time to check the slides and if they have any comment about them.
Oh, I see. Hold on, just a second. I'm trying to retrieve the email that I sent with. That was with the PowerPoint and the proposed structure for the meeting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to locate that. I just posted it. I don't know if you already can see.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
So I guess most we can discuss about that kind of agenda that proposed. If we have agreement on that, if we need some change, any comment is really welcome on that. It's just a draft to help for the discussion. And also, if you have any comment about the slides, please, and then I think maybe we don't have now time, it's not that easy to discuss about that, but please send them to the mailing list. So let's focus on that, that agenda. Question, any comment? Okay. Eileen, please go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm only looking at what's in the notes section, so maybe there's some more details in the PowerPoint presentation. But I'd just like to suggest that I think the audience that would benefit most from our meeting will be possible applicants that would benefit from our work. And so I would like to make sure we highlight how they can
participate or what they could expect or what's going to happen next for them.
Yeah, but how do you think that how we should proceed for that?
Well, there's a couple of things I can think of. I mean, I know the program hasn't been built, so perhaps we could outline, you know, where the board has already been in agreement with things we suggested or, you know, what's still being discussed, basically what people can expect to come out of this. And also, I think that we'll also have that public comment period will be open at that time, so we could ask people to comment and request, you know, a decision on a certain part or maybe propose some additional information. I'd just like to see it, you know, more useful to the audience than us just saying what we've been doing.
Okay. I guess the focus will be what kind of support to be provided, etc., that it will interest prospective needy applicant, and to describe like who qualify for the support, etc. And then we drop parts like statement, etc., just to focus on the support itself. Maybe also to think the time that we think to allocate for people to comment. I think it's 1 hour and a half. So if we make it less than 30 minutes for to present the report, etc., and then to have 1 hour to listen to the people and to have their comment and to reply to them. Does it make sense? Okay. I'm not sure how to get this. Is that as agreement or just...
I think it makes sense that... we probably need to also establish in the current plan. You've got Cheryl for the record, by the way. You've got, you know, member one, member two, member three. Asking for people who to step forward and own those roles, and that might also be a good next step. It is very unlikely that if I'm in the room at all, I will be there for very long because I've got a number of competing meetings in that same time slot. But if whatever we have presenting is in a highly graphical and easily understood form, it will be of assistance, I would have thought, to people who may be in the room as prospective applicants who could benefit from the support, because it is also likely that they may be relatively new to the nuances of the wonderful world of ICANN. So if we do less gobbledygook and more, you know, flowcharts and simple approaches, I think that would be a good approach as well. Thank you.
So on Tuesday...
Thank you, Sherry. I agree. I'm not sure if... it's wonderful word of ICANN, but my
that was firmly tongue in cheek, believe me.
Okay, but we are now thinking about prospective applicants, but we may also expect people from the ICANN community who may have a comment. I don't think the same comments or questions like new applicants, so maybe we need to balance between that. Carlton, do you have any thoughts about that?
Um, This is Carlton. Rafik, well, I really expect some rebalancing, but I will just hold until I hear what others have to say.
Okay.
And by the way, just to follow up on Cheryl's point about trying to make this a little more less Iconese and more public friendly, my colleague Dev Anand Tilak Singh has been working on a flow chart. We were hoping to preview it this morning, but we're not quite ready. So we'll put it to the list in a little while, which we hope as a flow chart graphic item, it might be more useful in terms of addressing the outcome that Cheryl has proposed here. Thank you.
Okay. I saw a question from Carla, so if we have less slides. I guess so. Just we need to highlight the main points. I don't think that we can cover really all the report content. We need to focus on the main parts that really interest the needy applicants. We have 3 minutes left of the call, and I guess we have some comments. I think Carlton and me, and we work on that, and to maybe redraft the agenda and send it again to the mailing list. I know that will not easy because next week people will be more busy to prepare to go to Singapore. We will have just the next call in Tuesday, which is with the board and the GAG. So we will try to fix that as soon as possible. Okay, is there any further comment on that? Too much silence in there today. Okay. Any other business? I hope that all the working group members can make it for the next call with the board and the GAG. I hope that we can have enough questions from them, which is a part of the community review on our work, and that's all. Thank you for attending today's call, and this call is adjourned. Thank you. See you
on Tuesday,
Rafik.
Thanks, Carlos.
See you. Thank you for us.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.